thank you for the prayers tonight concerning Brianna, and we're asking everybody to continue to pray for Ellie's granddaughter, Brianna. Could be a stroke. They just don't know at this point. The doctors will find out. The Lord is with her. She loves the Lord to death. And thank God that the Lord, that she knows Jesus and that he is taking care of her. And I'm believing that God will give us a miracle here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise her from that hospital bed, and she's going to go home with her husband. They're newlyweds. I mean, just starting out in life, you know, serving the Lord. And so we pray for Brianna tonight. Well, good testimonies tonight and good prayer meeting before the service. I thank you folks that are here for having a prayer meeting with me concerning this matter. So important. The power of prayer. It's the power of prayer. Yes, indeed. Well, folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight. Oh, yes. Let's get our choir going. And let's let's open up to hymn number 67. Hymn 67, folks, will stand for our final hymn, that is final hymn prior to the message tonight. Elvina Hall wrote, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." Indeed. We'll sing the first, second, and the fourth. First, second, and the fourth of hymn 67. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the liver's thoughts and melt that heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Thank you, Lord. Fourth. "And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow." Amen. Please be seated, church. So thankful for that day, that very day that he washed my sins white as snow. It was the day that I called upon him for salvation from sin on October the 3rd, 1986. Never been the same since, I'll tell you. My 31st year of salvation. Oh, what a blessing it is to know him and to know that he paid it all. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time, and please open up to the book of Philippians. Get over to Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Driving home with the folks this morning after church, And my sister said to me, I love the Pauline epistles. We preached out of Galatians chapter 5 this morning. And we're going to Philippians chapter 4 this evening. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul makes an incredible statement here that it's not always easy to do. Because sometimes things get difficult and problematic in our Christian lives. The devil makes sure of that. But there is something that we can do. Look with me here in Philippians chapter 4. Remain seated tonight, beloved. In Philippians chapter 4, I want to bring a message to you from verse 4. We read, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Beloved, I want to speak to you this evening on a message I've entitled, Make the Choice to Rejoice. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that, Lord, I just felt such a blessing upon us here in the church as we prayed prior to service tonight concerning Brianna. I just felt such a peace enter my soul that everything's going to be all right because of our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ going to work on Brianna's behalf. And Lord, I thank you that we can choose to rejoice in all that you're going to do. Lord, yes, despite the circumstances, despite the problems, despite the trials that we endure, we can always make that choice to rejoice in Christ Jesus the Lord. We love you tonight, Lord, and we do pray that you would teach us through this message how to make that choice on a daily basis wherein we may rejoice in thee. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Church, here in the 4th of Philippians, Paul makes an incredible statement, because in verse 4, if you notice, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. He wants you to do it not just when things are going good, not with just when the birds are singing and the sun is shining and everything, not a ripple on the water, but in the midst of the storm, we can also rejoice knowing who is in control. Amen? Folks, we need to make the choice to rejoice. We've got to make a choice to rejoice. You can either say, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning. Nobody wakes up happy and successful. It's a choice that we make. Discipline by itself doesn't work. Most of us, by nature, are not disciplined enough to make discipline work for us. You don't start with discipline. Everybody may not have discipline, but everybody has desires. Your desires from your decisions, your desires form your decisions. And your decisions form your disciplines. Are you listening? You don't start with discipline. You start with desire. What do you want for yourself and for your family? What do you want from God? What do you need? If you don't know what you want from God, God can't even help you. You got to know. And then you got to ask. You got to make choices. You got to make decisions. And you got to be disciplined. We all make choices every day. Some of our choices don't hurt us. Some of our choices can hurt us. But we can make the choice to rejoice. Now, first thing I want you to notice is found in verse 5. Look with me in verse number 5. We read, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, that word moderation, the Greek word is epikos. Epikos. You know what it means? It means patience coupled with gentleness. Oh, what a virtue that is. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, by the way, patience. Patience coupled with gentleness. He's saying, let your patience be known unto all men. In other words, we're not going to go overboard in any area. We're going to live our lives with gentleness and patience in the Lord. Why? Paul tells us the reason. The Lord is at hand. Folks, we need to remember tonight that Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming quickly. And in the meantime, you and I can make the choice to rejoice. Some Christians choose not to rejoice. Some Christians choose to be unhappy. Did you know that? Paul wants us to understand something very important here. The Lord is near. He could show up any minute. Listen, I am never alone. We are never alone. The Lord is near you. He's always with you. He could show up any minute in your trouble and everything will be okay. He could show up any second and your troubles would all be gone. He could show up any second and your enemy will turn around and run away. He could show up any second with a financial blessing that'll turn things around for you. He could show up any second and your pain could all go away. No wonder Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is at hand. I love how he couples that together with the rejoicing. There's a great reason for us to rejoice. The Lord is at hand. What should it mean, the Lord is at hand? It means his return is imminent. It means he's about to open that door, knob of heaven's door, and come down for you and I. Amen? Listen now. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, go there. 1 Samuel, hold your place in Philippians, but go to 1 Samuel. Incredible book of the Bible, 1 and 2 Samuel. I absolutely love the Davidic life and all of the lessons we learn from it. But in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, I want you to notice something here. The Lord calls unto young Samuel, but he doesn't hear him. Listen, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, and the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And now, let me make a statement. Before, at this point, Samuel's relationship to the Lord was through Eli, the priest. He didn't have his own personal one-on-one yet with the Lord. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was no prophecy coming forth from the prophets. God was silent at this time because of Israel's idolatry. Now, very important that you realize that it was a very sad time those days. Because in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. It was precious. I'm glad that I go to a church where I hear the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad that the word of the Lord comes forth from this pulpit every week. I'm so thankful for that. But look at verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Eli went blind. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, that's the Shekinah glory in there, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now, notice here in verse number 2 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, yet the Lord spoke to him. You see that? In verse number 2, Eli's asleep, Samuel's alone, and God is speaking to him. Now, drop down with me. He has a three-time call upon Samuel, and every time Samuel goes to Eli and says, did you call me, Eli? Eli says, no, go lay down. Samuel, the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel! And he runs back to Eli. Did you call me, Eli? No, go back and lay down. The third time, Eli said, it is the Lord. When he calls you again, say, here am I. Drop down to verse number 8. And the Lord called unto Samuel the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now, Samuel did not realize that God was speaking directly to him. Not through Eli. Three times the Lord speaks, three times Samuel misses it. Did you ever miss when the Lord's talking to you? Yeah, my hand's up. Sure. We all have. We missed it. We missed it. God's trying to tell us something. And then we find out a few days later, oh, that's what God was trying to tell me. Look at it. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we miss it completely. I need to know that the Lord is near. We need to know that the Lord is near. I need the Lord to speak to me. And we need the Lord to speak to us, don't we? So did Samuel. Look at verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, the Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Yet God is patient with someone who missed it three times. What came forth to Samuel that night was the word of the Lord. The Lord was speaking to him directly, and he missed it completely. Did the Lord give up on him? Nope. I'm so glad he doesn't give up on us. I'm so glad he's patient and loving and compassionate and kind. God didn't give up on Samuel. Eli told him, if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So, look at verse 10. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel! Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know what the Lord wants from us? When he calls to us, he wants an, we're talking about ears this morning. He wants an open ear. He wants us to say, Lord, I'm here before your presence. I want to hear what you've got to say. The problem is that most of God's people don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to accomplish his plans and purposes in their lives. Samuel did. I'm so thankful. The Lord comes in verse 10, stood over Samuel and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. We need to ask the Lord to keep speaking to us. Amen. I don't want the Lord to give up on me. Thank God that the Lord doesn't ever give up on you or I. I want the Lord to keep on speaking to me until I get the message and understand what he's speaking to me about. Don't ever stop calling to me, Lord. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. He says, I'm going to do something marvelous in Israel. Are you going to know it? God is getting ready to do something for his people that is going to shake everyone up. God is getting ready to do something for you that will get somebody's attention. Listen to me. God is getting ready to do something for his body, the church, that will shake up this world of unbelievers. Make the choice to rejoice. God is at work. Samuel, I'm going to do something great, and I want you to rejoice in me. Listen, we all have needs, and God knows them all, each and every one, before we ask. But he wants us to ask. And notice it says in our text back in Philippians 4, 6, with thanksgiving. You ask with thanksgiving. Why? The thanksgiving part is the confidence that God will answer. Amen? Oh, not with doubting, with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verse 6. Make the choice to rejoice first. Now, don't fret. Don't worry. Let petitions and praises shape your worries. Then you go to God with your list. Let him know what you want, what you need. Get specific about it. God wants us to be specific. If you need a healing, tell him what you want. If you need spiritual blessing, tell him what you want. If you need financial blessing, tell God what you need. If you need joy, tell him what you want. If you need peace, tell him what you want. If you need a miracle, tell him what you want. If you just need to sit at his feet, tell him what you want. If you need him to touch you, tell him what you want. Instead of your worries shaping your petitions and praises, let petitions and praises shape your worries. Make the choice to rejoice. Listen, church, our desires become our decisions, and our decisions become our disciplines. Make the choice to rejoice. Turn over to the book of Joshua. If you're still in Samuel, go back to Joshua chapter 19. Samuel made that choice, and boy, did the Lord use him. In Joshua chapter 19, Joshua, the man of God, the servant of the Lord, as was Moses, is dividing up the land which he conquered in Canaan amongst the 12 tribes, right? In chapter 19 of Joshua, you know the text. Look at verse 9. What occurs? Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them, Judah. Why? Notice in verse 9, when Joshua was dividing the land amongst all of the 12 tribes of Israel, he took some of Judah's portion and gave it to the tribe of Simeon. Why? Jude, look at it. The part of the children of Judah was too much for them. They had more land than any other tribe, but they were the smallest. Listen to me. Judah's portion happened to turn out to be more than they needed. Do you know what Judah's name means, somebody? It means praise. Praise. You know what God does? He enlarges praise. Oh, this is good. Praise's portion just happened to be more than what they needed. When you are a praiser, you will always have more than you need. When you make the choice to rejoice, you will always have more than you need. When your name means praise, you will always have more than you need. Let's make the choice to rejoice, Judah. In the book of Psalms, David makes a choice to rejoice. In the last five chapters of the book, each chapter begins and ends with the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." You know what making the choice to rejoice means? It means praise ye the Lord. What are you, now folks, let's get specific here. What is Paul speaking about, making the choice to rejoice? What are we rejoicing in? Our boat, our bank account, our job? No, none of the above. We're rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? You've got to get that straight. Praise ye, that is rejoice ye in the Lord. In between each chapter, last five chapters of Psalms, David tells all about what God has done and all about what God can do for his people. And he begins and ends with, praise ye the Lord. Make the choice to rejoice. Go to Psalms 146. Let's see it for ourselves. In Psalms 146, David, the man after God's own heart, says this. 146:1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Look at the last verse. Praise ye the Lord. Verse 10. Look at 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Listen, it is good to make the choice to rejoice. Last verse of 147. Praise ye the Lord. 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all ye angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon and stars. Praise him, everybody, everywhere. Make the choice to rejoice. Why? Because you've got God, the living God. Last verse of 148, praise ye the Lord. Look at 149. He says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Beloved, it's a choice that you need to make in the congregation. I am going to rejoice in Jesus Christ. I am going to praise him. I am going to thank him for everything, even though I don't have it yet. Oh, wow. This is so good. Look at Psalm 149, last verse. Praise ye the Lord. 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Ooh. I'm here to tell you tonight, beloved, that the final Psalm 150, David is beside himself. He can no longer contain it. And every verse he begins with, praise ye the Lord. Oh, it's so good to make the choice to rejoice. It's so good to praise the Lord through the good and the bad. Here lies the problem. We get our eyes and our attention, come right in, brother, attention off of what God is trying to do because of our circumstances. And we forget to make that choice. We forget to praise the Lord. Now, in Isaiah chapter 61, turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm so thankful that this is a choice that every single one of us, child of God, can make. Every single day, regardless of my situation. Why? Because he changeth not. Hear what I said? The object of our rejoicing and praise changes not. That means my rejoicing in him should not alter. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 1. Messianic prophecy of Messiah, which Jesus Christ would quote verbatim in the temple one day. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Time out, church. Here's why we can make the choice to rejoice. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Is he upon you? Then you can rejoice. Look at it. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Anybody got a broken heart? to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound. Notice in verse 1 that Jesus Christ came for several reasons. He came to put you into a position of the forgiveness of sins wherein you can make the choice to rejoice. Listen carefully, beloved, in closing. We can make the choice to rejoice because God has provided a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit in you. We can make the choice to rejoice because God has provided us messages of joy instead of doom and gloom. We can make the choice to rejoice because God is telling us that if we put on His garment of praise and praise His holy name and make the choice to rejoice, that He will take care of the spirit of heaviness. Here is what the devil doesn't want you to know. He tries to put on a cloak of despair and discouragement where the Lord is saying, I want to make you rejoice. I want to make you joyful. I want to make you happy. And He does, if we let Him. God is telling us that if we put on His garment of praise and praise His holy name, He'll take care of the spirit of despair and discouragement. He'll kick it out where it doesn't belong. We can make the choice to rejoice, beloved. Enjoy the journey. It's a good life living for the Lord. And we can make that choice every day to rejoice. Back to our text in Philippians. Oh, before you turn there, go to Nehemiah. One more thing I want you to see before I finish up. Go to the book of Nehemiah, prior to Job, prior to Esther. You'll find the book of Nehemiah, quite a book. Go to chapter 8, the man of God, Nehemiah. Watch what he says. If you want a real blessing, go home tonight and read Nehemiah chapter 9 all the way through. Wow. What a powerful passage of scripture chapter 9 is. But in chapter 8, look with me at verse number 10. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know, the one that they broke. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah said, people, I want you from this day forth to get rid of that spirit of sorrow and begin rejoicing in the Lord for the joy of the Lord. Not of you is your strength. Did anybody see it? The joy of the Lord. How many times it says in the Gospels, and Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And Jesus rejoiced in spirit. It's His joy that He's put in you by His Holy Spirit. Now, go to Philippians chapter 4 to our text. We'll finish up. Look what he says. Philippians, we're talking about making the choice to rejoice. Chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, beloved, we need to make the choice to rejoice. We need to enjoy the journey. It's a good life living for the Lord. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that we don't have to worry about what is occurring, what is happening. We thank you, Lord, that you've got it all under your thumb. We thank you, Lord, that you're completely, eternally sovereign. And Lord, we thank you that in Jesus Christ's name, all things are possible. And Lord, I thank you that verse number 6 clearly commands us not to worry about the situation, but by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known to you. Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us so much that you give us an open door of prayer. Whatever it might be, we come before your presence instead of sorrowing and despairing as others which have no hope, we rejoice that we have a heavenly Father to come to. In the name of his divine Son, he heareth us always. And in this we rejoice. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you because I know that right now you're ministering. You're ministering to your people's needs in this church. I know, Lord God, that you're moving, Holy Spirit. I know, Lord God, that you're giving peace where doubt and sorrow and worry are. And Lord, you're kicking them out. And Lord, you're showing us that despite these circumstances, we can make that choice to rejoice. It's all because of a person named Jesus. Without Jesus, none of us could rejoice. Without Jesus, there would be no joyful option. Nothing but pain and eternal misery. But we thank you, dear Lord, for sending him to be our living hope, our strength, our joy, our peace, our Jesus. In his holy name we pray, amen and amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight. We will stand for a time of invitation indeed. And folks, for those of you who weren't here earlier, we have an urgent prayer request tonight, and that is for Ellie's granddaughter, Brianna. And some of you might want to hit the altar and really seek God on her behalf as we sing. We're going to go to hymn number 52. Hymn 52, one of our favorites, Victory in Jesus. That's where the victory lies, and that's where the victory lies for Brianna tonight. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to worry about her condition. But we can rejoice in what Jesus Christ is going to do in that gal's life. Oh, glory to God. So, without further ado, let's open up our hymnals to 52, and we'll sing all three. Altar is open. Yes.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. My Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my life is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood.
Listen, I heard about his healing, of his precious power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Oh yeah!
And fell across, dear Jesus, come and heal a broken spirit.
Listen!
And somehow Jesus came and brought to me that victory.
Everybody,
oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me. And all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And then the cross been singing, and the old redemption story.
And some hot day I'll sing up there the song of the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior,
forever.
He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Hallelujah!
He loved me and I knew him,
and all my love is due to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, great singing tonight, folks. So thankful to be with you all in the house of God and making the choice to rejoice. I can see we are. Folks hit the altar in prayer for Brianna. And I'm just so grateful that we have the Lord, whatever we're going through, whatever need we have, he's there for us, personally present and taking care of the situation. Father, how we thank you tonight for such a good day in the house of the Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the messages from your word, messages of encouragement. Lord, I love how you said in Jeremiah, that I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Lord, I'm so grateful that your heart's desire is to bless us. We are your children. We are in your hands. And Lord, thank you that no matter what we might go through, we can make the choice to rejoice because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Not just from sin, but from so many other things. Lord, thank you that you're a very present help in trouble. Thank you, Lord, for that river of God that maketh glad the heart, flowing from your throne above. Thank you, Lord, we'll sit at your feet. Think of it, the day we'll arrive in glory. What a welcoming party we'll receive. But dear Lord, as the songwriter said, I just want to see Jesus, the one who died for me. Lord, we love you tonight, and we're so thankful for your Holy Spirit. We have been greatly encouraged by your Holy Spirit today. And Lord, we're so thankful that Brianna is in your hands. As we close in prayer tonight, we lift her up to thee, knowing that thou art with her, watching over her, taking care of her, and bringing healing to her physical health. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, ahead of time. The Bible said in verse 6 there, with thanksgiving. Your requests be made known with thanksgiving. Well, Lord, we've made our requests known to you tonight in our prayer meeting concerning Brianna, but we're making it with thanksgiving in what you choose to do. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you will do. And Lord, we'll continue to do, not just through Brianna's life, but through each and every one of us. We love thee, we trust thee, and we make the choice to rejoice in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.
Beloved, Wednesday night, we may be having service.